The Gemara uses mysterious phrases to tell us the two categories of Rov. We have these two categories, Ruba de Issa Kaman and Ruba de Lassa Kaman, but the Gemara doesn't really define for us the difference between the two. We're given examples, but we're not really given definitions. We know that Ruba de Issa Kaman is a reference to a situation like 9 out of 10 stores selling kosher food, and you find an item from one of the stores, you don't know which one it is. Or the rove that we find in a Sanhedrin, when the majority of the Beis Din votes a certain way, so that's apparently in the category of Ruba de Issa Kaman. And Ruba de Lassa Kaman are those concepts such as Rov Nashim Lutes Yalvin, Rov Ketanim Lav Srisim Ninu, and things like that. Those general types of principles, those fall in the category of Ruba de Lassa Kaman. So we have examples in the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't really tell us how you classify one or the other. So it's a big discussion in various achronim, how to understand what it is. There's a nice essay about this topic in the Sefer Pri Moshe on Rov in some days, where he has a number of the positions laid out. On the one hand, there are those who take the words very literally, and one could understand the phrases to mean that Ruba de Issa Kaman, the rov that's in front of us, means the numbers are in front of us. We can see the percentages, we can see the statistics, and we know that the rov is this way. And Ruba de Lassa Kaman is a more vague type of rov where we don't have the actual numbers in front of us. That's the way the Amudei Or understands, and Siman Pei Dalet. He wants to build a chiddush on that theory. That's one way of seeing it. But there seems to be a very strong trend in a lot of major achronim to see it differently. For example, the Shev Shmeis and Shmeis Beis and Perek Tes Vav explains that the difference is that when we're talking about an Issa Kaman, so that's a type of rov where we're talking about something that was separated from a larger group, and there's no real svara to say that the object we're dealing with is really from the rov. It could very possibly be from the meat. But nonetheless, the halacha tells us we have the right, called the parish meruba parish, the right to assume that everything that's separated was separated from the rov, and that's the din of rov, of ruba de issa kaman. And the ruba de lassa kaman is not about some object that was separated, that we're following the majorities, but rather it's a logical type of concept. It's a svara. It's when you say that things generally are this way, that's what we mean when we talk about a Ruba de Lassa Kaman. There's a similar delineation written by the Nesivis in a Tshuva that was printed in the Tshuva Chemdes Shlomo. And there also he says that the idea of Lassa Kaman is Lassa Kaman Bedina. These concepts, these axioms, they say Rov Behemis Einem Trefis, that's a Ruba de Lassa Kaman, and those types of scenarios, the existence of other animals in the world don't do anything to increase our suffix. When we're trying to figure out if a certain behemoth is a trefa, so the fact that there are other animals in the world that are trefas, that aren't trefas, don't really enter into our equation, which is different than a Ruba de Issa Kaman. We're dealing with a Ruba de Issa Kaman. If there was only one store in the world, and that store was kosher, so I wouldn't have a suffix at all. It's only because there are other stores in the world, so then I have to start counting and I have to start figuring out rov. So when we're dealing with Ruba de Issa Kaman, so we are worried about all the different elements in the world that make up the set that we're concerned with. And when it comes to a Ruba de Lassa Kaman, so then we're only really interested in this one item, and even if this one item was the only item in the world of its class, we'd still have a suffix. We still wouldn't know is this valid or not, and we would need rules to define it. And therefore, what emerges is that this is also a definition that really works with the words. Ruba de Issa Kaman, it means that what's in front of us is all the elements, that we're worried about all the elements of the picture, all the different ingredients that make up the set. All of that is in front of us in our equation. We're trying to figure out all the stores put together, how many of the stores are kosher and how many are not. We have to take them all into account. They're all Issa Kaman. But when it comes to a Lassa Kaman, we're not really counting up all the elements in the world. We're really just focused on this one item. And therefore, all the other aspects that are not part of our equation are really Lassa Kaman. And the Chasam Sofer has a similar delineation in his Chidushim to the Bava Basra, Where also he says that Rabbi Lassakamon is, Minhag Olam is a certain way, that's Lassakamon. And Issakamon is where we have to take into account all the different statistics and figure out what's the majority. So the promotion, discussing this further, questions why it is then that Lassakamon seems to be the less impressive rove. In general, we seem to always prefer Issakamon. The Gemara seems to imply that that's the one that's stronger, and really, based on what we're saying, you could have said the other way around. That really, Lassakamon is better, because Lassakamon is a svara that it's true. And when it comes to Issakamon, so Issakamon doesn't really have any logic behind it. It's always just possible that the aspect you're dealing with is from the Miyut. So I could have thought that Issakamon really is less likely to be true than a Lassakamon. So Issakamon should be weaker. And he explains that really the truth is they're just two different categories. It's not that one is necessarily more powerful than the other, but they're two completely separate concepts. That Issakamon is when we're talking about something that was separated from a larger group, and we have to determine that it was part of the larger group and not part of the smaller group. And Lassakamon is a whole different status. We just look at an object and we want to try to figure out inherently what is its nature. And he goes on to point out that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his Tshuvas, in Simen Kovav, in Madura Kama, says another distinction between Issakamon and Lassakamon. Now, when you have an Issakamon, so the Miut, it's as if it doesn't exist at all. And you can't use that Miut to join together with a Chazaka or with a Palka or anything like that. The Lassakamon is as if it doesn't exist at all. The Miut is as if it doesn't exist at all. However, when we're dealing with the Lassakamon, that's not true. The Miut does have some type of existence. So what's shot in that distinction? So the promotion wanted to explain, based on a comment in the Sefer Beis HaOtzer of Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel there writes that the difference between Lassakamon and Issakamon is that when we're dealing with an Issakamon, the whole suffix is created by the minority. Because the minority exists, because there is this element that doesn't fit the same rule as the majority, that's why you have a problem. Again, if you only had one kosher store, everything would be fine, but because there's a minority of non-kosher stores, so that's where we have an issue. So therefore, it must mean that the Din Rov is telling us that we can ignore this minority. It's the minority that's causing us the problem, and the Din Rov is telling us we're not relating to this minority at all. But when it comes to a Lassakamon, so the suffix is not because of any other element, it's only because of it in itself. So therefore, it can't be that we have the right to ignore some other minority. Rather, it must be that the Din Rov is just to clarify what this is. The Biur telling us that we emphasize the Rov aspect against the Miut aspect. So therefore, there's no Din telling us that the Miut doesn't exist, and therefore the Miut is still a factor in the world in the case of Lassakamon, and it's thus different than Issakamon. So basically, to sum up, the way the Premosha lays it out, so on the one hand, you may have understood Issakamon and Lassakamon to be a question of, are the numbers in front of us or not? That on one level is what the words sound like, and that's how the Amudei Or understands it. But there's a whole package of Achronim, and the Shmaisa, and the Chasim Sofer, and the Nesivis, who seem to understand that it's really a question of, on the one hand, statistical Rov, being Issakamon, that if there's percentages and numbers, and that's what we're following, we're talking about a Rubid Issakamon. And Lassakamon is a function of Svara, is a function of Minhag, is a function of things just are that way. And working off that assumption, it would seem that Lassakamon has a certain mila to it, and that it's more likely to be true. It's coming from a logic, it's coming from a svara, while Issakamon is not necessarily any reason to believe it's true, because Issakamon, the Miut, could also be true. So that last assumption, the Minchas Asher, Rashi Weiss, and Sefer and Shmos, he's not so excited about that last assumption. He thinks that on that level, really Issakamon and Lassakamon don't have such a difference, because the svara of Lassakamon, the way he understands it, is not really any stronger than the svara of Issakamon. But just like when you're talking about Issakamon, you'll say 75% is one way and 25% is the other way. So there's no real svara to tell us that the 25% element is not what we're dealing with here. So too, when you're dealing with the Ruba Delesticamon, there's also a Miut in the world that's not like this Rove. And it's also possible very strongly that Miut is also what we're talking about. So in his understanding, there isn't any real more, any element of a Svar any more to Ruba Delesticamon than there is to Issachamon. So rather, we have to define things differently. And that the way he understands it, the difference between Ruba Issachamon and Lasticamon is that Issachamon, when the Torah tells us we can follow a Ruba de Issachamon, the Torah is telling us that we have the right to assume like the majority. That 75% is like this and 25% is like that. So we have the right to assume that 75%, that's what we're talking about. And a Issachamon is a different type of concept. The din of following a Issachamon is that the Torah is telling us that we don't have to look for trouble. That we have the right to relate to every situation as if it's the normal, standard, average situation. And we don't have to assume that there might be some variable that entered into the equation and took it out of the standard way things turned out. And even though that's not definitely true, we don't know that the Birur, because it's always possible that things could be different, nonetheless, that still has a din vadai. This is a din of being absolutely true, because that's the chiddush of Ruba Delesticamon. But it's not a svar, it's not necessarily compelling logically. Otherwise, as the Menachas Asher points out, we wouldn't have to have psukim for it. The Gemara has psukim for it. So the fact that we have psukim tells us that it's not necessarily an obvious din. Rather, this is to tell us that that's the din of Ruba Delesticamon, that we have the right to assume that things are normal, things are standard. So again, just to sum up, the way he understands it, a little bit of a different twist. So the din of Lasticamon means we have the right to assume everything is normal, everything is straightforward, and the Ruba Delesticamon, that's what we follow majorities.